Very simply, at the end of our meeting tonight, I want to preach on the subject, a very special invitation. That's the subject that I want to deal with tonight. And I want to base the subject on the text, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, a very familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Here we have a very special invitation. It's a very special invitation, not only because of the content of the invitation, and we'll be saying more about the content just in a moment, but this invitation is very special because of the one who is giving the invitation. The one who is extending this invitation, of course, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, this invitation is not from any earthly king or queen, nor is it an invitation from any heavenly created being. This is an invitation from divine lips of a divine Savior. And because of this, it is an invitation that can be trusted and that can be depended upon. Men can break their word and do break their word, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second person in the Holy Trinity, praise God, he will never break his word. And when the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, walked upon this earth, you know, he said many different things to many different people. There were times when he spoke words of condemnation, words of chastisement, and words of rebuke. But here at the end of Matthew chapter 11, the Savior speaks words of invitation. And what an invitation we have here from the Son of God himself. This is an invitation to sinners to come to Christ in order to find rest and peace for their soul. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, your greatest need is to find rest and peace for your weary soul. Only Jesus Christ can give you that rest and peace this evening. But for you to find rest and peace for your soul, you need to take up the invitation to come to Christ and receive him as your own and personal Savior. The invitation may go out, but you must receive the invitation. And I pray tonight at the close of this meeting, for those here tonight who are not Christians, who are not saved, that as this invitation goes out this evening, that you will avail yourself of the invitation, that even tonight you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To find rest and peace for your soul, you must come to Christ. With this in mind, I want you to consider a number of things very simply in the gospel about taking up the invitation and coming to Christ. And I pray that God will speak to your heart and write his word upon your soul. First of all, notice in verse 28, look at it. Coming to Christ is a personal matter. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Although the invitation to come to Christ is universal, it is also very personal. When the Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, he invited individuals to come unto him. And of course, if you are familiar with the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, you will know this to be true. The Lord Jesus, time and time again, invited individuals to come to him. He called them personally. In Matthew 4 and verses 18 to 21, just turn to that portion of Scripture. We have the Lord Jesus here walking by the Sea of Galilee. And as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, he calls Peter and Andrew personally. And I want you to see that in the passage of Scripture. Verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, He spoke personally to them. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then in verse 21, the Lord speaks personally to James and to John. Look what it says in verse 21. "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them." Underline those words. He called James and John personally. He called them by name, as he did Peter and Andrew. And of course, we're all familiar with the story in the Bible of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And of course, verse 5, we read these words. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him," that's Zacchaeus, "make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Again, when we consider Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, the Lord spoke to them personally and called them by name, "Saul, Saul." And of course, he calls Samuel personally and individually as well. Because we read in 1 Samuel 3 verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, these are only some of the examples in the Bible where the Lord invited individuals to come unto him and follow him and serve him and be saved. You see, the invitation of Christ is a personal invitation. Now, I know that is a very simple point, but it is a truth today, I believe, that needs to be emphasized in this 21st century. God's salvation is very personal. You're sitting in this meeting tonight. You're sitting in a crowd of people. Maybe you're trying to hide. Maybe you're trying to duck behind someone. But listen, the message is for you. The invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ is for you. And tonight he would call you by name, just as he called Samuel, just as he called Saul of Tarsus, just as he called James and John and Andrew and Peter, just as he called Zacchaeus all those many years ago. And thank God the Lord Jesus is still calling individuals, still extending his invitation for you as an individual to come and be saved. Oh, this simple gospel truth is emphasized in the Bible, and it needs to be emphasized today. Turn over just for a moment to Mark chapter 1, and you'll see this wonderful truth again. In Mark chapter 1, we read about a leper who came to Christ. Notice what it says in Mark 1 and verse 40 and 41. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." You'll notice there how the leper came to Christ personally and individually. Salvation is a personal thing. And while it is good to be brought up in a Christian home and in a Christian family, while it is good to be under the sound of the gospel week in and week out and to be instructed collectively in the things of God, when it comes to a personal faith in Jesus Christ, when it comes to having your sins forgiven, when it comes for you getting into heaven, my friend, you must come by faith and trust Jesus Christ personally as your own and personal Redeemer. Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever come personally, repenting your sin by faith, trusting Him alone as your Redeemer? Because the truth is this, that someday we will all stand before God. And you will stand before God, and I will stand before God. And we will stand before Him as individuals. And on that day, no one else will answer for us. No one else will answer for you, and no one else will answer for me. We will answer for ourselves. And my friend, that's why you need a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." There are many times when the Lord spoke to the nation, when he addressed the multitude, but time and time again in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to individuals. And I believe he's speaking to you tonight, speaking to your heart, revealing unto you your need. Because the truth is, you do need a Savior, because you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and sin is real, and you know that sin is real. And God hates sin, and you need your sin dealt with tonight. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this wonderful invitation, extends it to you personally. See, coming to Christ is a personal matter. And that's why you, as an individual, must bow the knee at the foot of the cross and trust Christ as your Savior. But take a look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 yet again, and you'll notice that coming to Christ is a pressing matter. Pressing matter. Jesus says here, "Come unto me," and that's the invitation. But then he goes on to say, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." You know, sin is a heavy burden. And the burden of sin is bringing the sinner down to the lowest hell. Of course, that's what the Bible teaches. Therefore, how pressing is the matter of coming to Christ so that the burden of sin can be lifted, so that the burden of sin can be removed. Now, I know tonight that there are many in this world, and they never give their sin a second thought. They don't even believe that they're sinners. So their sin is not a burden to them, and they never think about their sin. But someday they will. Someday they will. And I hope that's not the case with you tonight. If you're in this meeting and you're not saved, I pray that you realize that you are the sinner. And if you do realize that you are a sinner, then sin is a heavy burden to you. And only Christ can remove the condemnation that you're under tonight. However, in order for this to happen, you must come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. You must take up the invitation and come to the Redeemer. Come today and have your burden of sin lifted. And thank God, in this invitation here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises to lift the burden of sin. And what a tremendous promise we have here. And we're going to see that promise just in a moment. But you need to recognize that you have a burden of sin. And you need to recognize tonight that it is a pressing matter to get your sin problem dealt with. Because remember this, you're only a heartbeat away from eternity. We often sing that lovely hymn, "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he shows us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Suffer the children, oh, hear his voice. Let every heart leap forth and rejoice. And let us freely make him our choice. Do not delay, but come. Think once again, he's with us today. Heed now his blessed commands and obey. Hear now his accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come?" And the chorus goes like this: "Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee in our eternal home." The Bible says, "Today if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It is interesting to note, when you consider those individuals that we mentioned a moment ago, how they responded when the Lord spoke to them and called them and gave them the invitation to follow him. because all without exception followed the Lord. Zacchaeus, it says of him that he made haste and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. It is said of Samuel that Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We read of Peter and Andrew that they straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. Also James and John, after the Savior called them and invited them to follow him. It says immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. All these people recognized that following Jesus, taking up the invitation that he extended to them, was a pressing and an urgent matter. They didn't linger. They didn't wait until another time. But they recognized that they had to come to Christ immediately. They had to follow him there and then. Because they realized and recognized that they could have missed this wonderful salvation. Sinner, salvation is an urgent matter. And this invitation, this very special invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners this evening, it must be acted upon. You must act upon it. And you must act upon it tonight. We're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. How sad it is when men and women come under the sound of the gospel and they're challenged about their soul's salvation. And in many cases, they realize and recognize that they need to be saved and they need to make their peace with God. But instead of being wise and seeking the Lord while he may be found and calling upon him while he is near, they put off the day of their salvation to another time. I wonder, is that what you have been doing? The Lord has been speaking to you. The invitation you have received, as far as hearing the invitation is concerned, you know what you have to do. Repent and believe the gospel. But your attitude is, I'll not get saved today. I'll not come to Christ just now. I'll not take up the invitation and follow the Lord Jesus immediately. Well, these examples that I have given, and there are only a few examples in the Bible, each of the individuals, after the Lord Jesus spoke to them and gave them the invitation, they responded positively, immediately. They turned from their sin immediately, straightway. They hastened to Christ. And my friend, that's what you need to do tonight. You need to hasten to the Savior, to the rock that is higher than you. Maybe the problem is you don't recognize the danger that you're in. You're in great danger. Your soul is in great danger. And at any moment, you could die and go out into a lost eternity. Oh, my friend, that's why you need to come to Christ tonight. Now, I know we say that every week. You say, well, preacher, I'll be here next week. And you'll say it again. And maybe that will be so. But every time you reject the invitation of Christ to come and be saved, to come and have your burden of sin lifted, something happens in your heart. Something happens in your life. Your heart gets harder. You find it easier to resist. You find it easier to say no. And if you keep on rejecting and keep on resisting and keep on saying no, then the time will come when the gospel and the preaching of the gospel will have no effect upon your heart whatsoever. That's why you need to come when the Lord Jesus is speaking with you and when his Holy Spirit is striving with you. Remember what the Lord said in Genesis chapter 6, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Those are very solemn words. And of course, Noah, he preached to the world at that time. For 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. He told them that the flood was coming. He warned them that God's judgment was going to fall. And as he prepared the ark, he continued to preach, but the people would not listen. God's Holy Spirit was striving with them. It was evident. But the day came, of course, when the ark was built, and when God said to Noah, come in to the ark, and God shut the door. And God's Holy Spirit stopped striving with all those outside the ark. There was no more mercy for them, no more grace for them, no more salvation for them. Salvation was only found in the ark. And once God shut the door, salvation for that generation had ended. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And very soon, my friend, God's judgment is going to fall upon this world again. But you know, God's judgment might fall on you before it falls upon this world again. You say, preacher, how would God's judgment fall on me before it would fall upon this world? Well, you might die. And God's Holy Spirit might stop striving with you. And if that were to happen, you would be as sure of hell as if you were already in it. But if God was to take your last breath tonight, you would never get to the meeting next week. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when you will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ for the last time. There's going to be a meeting. Whether it's this meeting or next week, but there's going to be a meeting. And never again will you have the opportunity of coming to Christ, and you will not be in the gospel service the following Sunday night. What if it was this week? What if God was to say to you tonight, this is the last invitation you're going to get. This is the last invitation you're going to hear. This is the last time you're going to be warned about your soul's salvation. God was to cut you off. Oh, my friend, you have a heavy burden tonight, a heavy burden of sin. And it's a pressing matter that you get that heavy burden dealt with, because you can't afford to die in your sin, and you can't afford to die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Notice something else here. Take a look at the text again, and we're really coming to the full thrust of the text here. Notice that coming to Christ is not only a personal matter, it's not only a pressing matter to get this burden of sin dealt with, but coming to Christ is a profitable matter. How is coming to Christ profitable? Well, verses 28 to 30 sum up how profitable it is for the sinner to come to Christ for salvation, to take up this invitation. Look what it says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What wonderful words that we have here. Praise God tonight. The Lord will give you rest for your soul. He'll give you peace in your heart. You know, there's no greater blessing upon this earth than to have the peace of God in your heart and life. To have rest of soul. To know that when you put your head on the pillow at night, if you die in the night, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. The world can't give that peace. The world can't give that rest. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ can. And he promises, this is the promise here in the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to sinners. Praise God, he will give you rest, he will lift your burden, and he will bless you with his eternal, everlasting salvation. Coming to Christ is profitable for many reasons, but let me give you three. First of all, it saves the sinner from hell. Secondly, it prepares the sinner for heaven. And thirdly, it gives the sinner rest and peace in his heart and soul. Tell me, friend, do you know anything of rest and peace in your soul this evening? There's one sure thing. If the Lord is dealing with you, if you're not saved, you have no rest nor peace. The Lord is bringing you under conviction of sin. He's revealing to you your great need of God's salvation. It's not until you take up the invitation, that you yield to Christ, that you repent of your sin, that you come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer, then you know this rest and this peace. The wonderful text in Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isn't that a wonderful text of Scripture? And praise God, this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you that rest and peace in your heart and in your soul and in your life. But you've got to take up the invitation. As I said before, the opportunity of coming to Christ will not always be there. That's why you must come today, and that's why you must come now. The day will come when you will want to come to Christ, you will want to take up the invitation, but it will not be there. Turn over with me just for a moment to Proverbs chapter 1. And if you're not saved, I want you to open the Bible, and there's Bibles in the pew in front of you, so make sure that you open the Bible at this portion of Scripture, because it's a very solemn portion of Scripture. But it reveals unto us that the day is coming when sinners will call upon the Lord for mercy, but no mercy will be given to them. How tragic is that? Look at verse 24 of Proverbs 1. God says, "Because I have called, I have invited, and ye refused." And that's what you're doing tonight, sinner. If you're not saved, you're refusing the invitation, you're refusing the call to come to Christ and be saved. "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded." Verse 25. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then distress and anguish cometh upon you." Now look at verse 28, underline these words. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer." Tonight, the Lord is calling unto you. The invitation, this wonderful, special invitation is being extended to you. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the promise of Christ. "I will give you rest, save you from hell, prepare you for heaven, give you peace in your heart and soul." Tonight the Lord would plead with you. He would extend his invitation to you to come and find peace for your soul. But you refuse. Well, the day is coming when you will call unto him. Look what it says. "Then shall they call unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Oh, my friend, coming to Christ is profitable. But it's only profitable when you come, when you take up the invitation. You'll never know anything of God's eternal salvation until you take up the invitation. Sitting in your sin, refusing to come to Christ, saying no to his free offer of salvation, neglecting your soul's salvation, it's not profitable. Really, what you're doing is damning your own soul. What you're doing is deciding for hell. That's what you're doing. Oh, would you not come to Christ tonight? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. He lifts the burden. He says the wonderful thing about the Christian life. The Lord lifts our burden. He carries us along. When we're in the valley, child of God, isn't that right? He carries us along. He gives us grace in the hard times. He gives us grace when our backs are against the wall. Oh, praise God, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. For he meets our every need. And sinner, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ will meet your every need. And he'll prepare you for heaven. And he'll take away your heavy burden of sin. And he'll give you assurance of heaven. He'll do that for you. Because he has died upon the cross and shed his precious blood in order to provide salvation for you and for me. He rose again in order to justify us before his Father in heaven. Praise God, the work has been accomplished. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ can give this special invitation, you see. Because he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He has provided eternal redemption for the whosoever will. And he offers it to you tonight. Would you come and trust him? Would you take up the invitation? May God give you the grace. Let's all bow in prayer.